Happy attitudes. The next word in verse 5 was, it said, blessed are the meek. Some more definitions about that word meek. What is meek? When you hear that word, what does it mean to you? And how do we rightly discern a meek person? What qualities, what characteristics would you expect to see in a person who's meek or walking in meekness? That word is used in multitudes of scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments. But anything referring to meekness, as we go on our little search this morning, you're going to find that meekness is a very beautiful thing. It's the hidden man of the heart, and that's what God is really after. And there are times when our flesh is going to get squeezed to walk in it. So there might be a little discomfort at times, but it's all worth it. So, in my search about meekness, I was led to Psalm 37. And you certainly may go there if you like, because Matthew 5:5 is quite brief and quite easy to remember. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's go to Psalm 37 and look a little more about meekness. Psalm 37, starting in verse 11, it says, the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And I submit to you, I believe that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he spent a lot of time in Psalms, and he often quoted Psalms, and I believe that this was his reference. In the Greek Old Testament, the words of Psalm 37:11 are almost identical with Matthew 5:5. It says, the meek shall inherit the land. And the word for land in Greek and Hebrew also means earth. So, meek will inherit the earth in Matthew 5:5. And it says basically the same thing in Psalm 37:11. The meek are people who wait for the Lord. And let's go to verses 5 through 8. And we're going to get a picture, if you will, a snapshot. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but Facebook has a profile and everyone who uses it. And they keep adding to it so that they can, quote unquote, tailor advertising based on your profile. All the information they can gather about you, because Facebook makes its money by selling stuff to you. And the more they can build a profile, it's like the FBI, they build a profile, and if you've been to enough Planned Parenthood parking lots, they might pay you a visit in the middle of the night and tell you, you can't pray here anymore, or you're going off to jail. They build profiles on people. Well, so in a sense, Psalm 37 is like a profile of the meek. I'm going to flip over there myself, actually, and read it with you. Verse 5 says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust him, and he will act. He will bring forth your vindication as the light and your right as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over him who prospers in his way, or over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not yourself. It only tends to evil. So based on the scriptures, we get a little insight into a person who's allowed meekness, if you will, to really be a great source of stability in your walk. How many want to be stable every day and not be like Duncan, not donuts, Duncan who made yo-yos, the yo-yo Christian, up one day, down the next, up and down, having no stability, no 2 days, you have a hard time staying stable. This will really help. This is God's profile for the person who walks in meekness, because these qualities, you will find them. Let's see what we got. A portrait of the meek. I call it a profile, but it's basically the same. What are these people like who, according to verse 11, are meek? In verse 8, wait for the Lord. Well, verse 5 says, they commit their way to the Lord, to start with. And trust in the Lord. Commit your way to him. Your pattern of life. And trust. God has never done anything that you couldn't trust him for. He keeps his word. He honors his word above his name. Wow, what a concept. He honors his word even above his reputation. I know so many people that make all these promises and never keep any of them. And you know what? It doesn't take long in your profile of that person. They don't keep their word. They're not trustworthy. You don't know whether they're going to follow through or not. They make excuses. They find reasons to not honor their word. And Jesus said, if you make a vow, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't waver. And a man or a woman who is walking in meekness will be very mindful about making promises they can't keep or looking for excuses after they promise somebody, but to find a way out of it. Meekness doesn't do that. And those who commit their way to the Lord, commit your life to the Lord, your lifestyle, there's no need to waver from that. And that can carry you. You get a period of sleep in between one day and the next, and you get up the next day and, well, I think I want to do my own thing today, so Lord, I'm gonna put a hold on my way today because there's some things I want to do. And so God says, fine. I can wait a day. I've waited an eternity to see you saved. I can wait a day. But what would a day be like without committing our walk that day to him? See, that would be very rebellious. It would be prideful. But verse 7 says, they are quiet or still before the Lord and do not fret over others who prosper. Envy and jealousy will eat you alive if you get looking around and comparing your life to somebody else's, the have-nots and the haves. As long as we live on this earth, there are always going to be people, if we let them get under our skin, we could be really jealous of Taryn. Do you see that nice white car out there in the parking lot? Yeah. Are you making the payments? Then zip your lip. She's blessed. And we should share our blessings with each other and be joyful about them and not be envious. A meek person is always seeking for the well-being of others. That's another quality of a meek person. Lifting others up and treating them more favorably than yourself. Yes, Taryn.
That's why I bring them to church.
Amen. Amen. Sharing your blessing. That's right. And every mile on yours is one less on your grandma's, huh? Amen. We can use that. Thank you. I'm very teachable. I learn quickly. But when we see that word, you know, it started off, sometimes men perceive it as being weak. But really, the deeper into this character of Christ in you, you find out it's a lot deeper than just that. There's more to it. Number one, they trust in God. Meek people begin by trusting God. They believe that He will work for them and vindicate them when others oppose them. Biblical meekness is rooted in the deep confidence that God is for you and not against you. Amen? That's very scriptural. Even Paul said that, if God be for you, who can be against you? If you know that God is looking out for your best interests, who on this planet can be against you and oppose you and make any difference? God is very much involved in this meekness thing. And Jesus, when He taught in these parables, and He taught these truths in the Beatitudes, even before these people were saved, they weren't born again yet, but He was beginning to introduce the character of God and basically prophesying by His teachings that the day was going to come when God would indwell them by His Spirit, and these things that He taught about would become on the inside of them eventually, when after Jesus' resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came and indwelled them, these qualities became a part of every born-again believer. The devil moved out, God moved in by the Spirit. You have a new resident living on board in the earth suit. So number one, they trust in the Lord. They commit their way. Meek people commit their way to the Lord. The Hebrew word for commit means literally to roll. Not holy roll. Or a roll that you get at Dunkin' Donuts. Meek people have discovered that God is trustworthy, and so they roll their way, or roll their cares, roll their worries over on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And did He not say, cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you? So when you roll something over on somebody, what are you doing? You're giving them your burdens. You're giving them your worries. You're giving them your cares. Why? So that your load can be lightened. Everybody carries something that has the potential for carrying a burden. And sometimes they're all bowed over like there's 19 vertebrae missing out of their spine. Well, I'm just burdened for the Lord today, brother. And they're just, oh, so deep and loss of joy. Well, you're only supposed to carry it as far as the cross. How far is that? I got one right behind me. Here they are, Lord. That easy. It's that easy. Religion makes it complicated. Religion puts on the long, sad face, and they focus on Jesus still in the grave instead of the power of His resurrection that's living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. That's good news. So they roll their way or their cares or their worries over on the Lord. Their business. Anybody got any business going on? Brad, your business? You roll all those worries and cares about your business over on the Lord? You do, don't you?
I have to.
Yeah, but you want to.
Yeah, I want to.
You want to. And why do we want to? Because He said to do it in His Word. But we can get all puffed up in pride. Nah, I got this. I got this. I can handle this. I don't need God in that decision. I can do that.
I had to ask Him for some divine wisdom out there.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Lest it fell down, you standing on it. Now you know who holds you up. Amen. He holds us all up, doesn't He? In the palm of His hand. Their business, their problems, their relationships, their health, their fears, their frustrations, they roll all this onto the Lord. And they admit that they're in. This is the truth. Weak people realize their weaknesses. They admit that they're insufficient to cope with the complexities and pressures and obstacles of life. And they trust that God is able and willing to sustain them and guide them and protect them. Proud people do exactly the opposite. They will never admit that they can't handle it, even though they got a very flat nose because of all the times they fell. But they won't admit it. Yeah, I stubbed my toe. Yeah, you stubbed more than your toe, bud. They're quiet before God and wait for Him. That's what it means to be still. Not only quiet, but settled, established, rooted, grounded in Him, so that when troubles come, we don't have to spend all our time worrying and fretting about stuff. Boy, did you ever notice in your daily goings about how it seems like people are so frenzied and rattled if you go out in public and go anywhere where people are? Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's frenzied. They should still wear their masks in their car. Maybe they'd be comforted. I don't know. But they just seem like, because they don't have what we have. And so they cope the best way they can. But the people that got Jesus on board, you know, you don't have to worry about your boat sinking when Jesus is in it with you. A meek people are quiet and still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. These are gleaned out of the scriptures from Psalm 37. Waiting patiently. Don, how long have you waited for that motorcycle to be sold?
2 years.
Are you getting impatient? Well, there's one sitting right in front of you if you need one. Well, that's a good example. Things that we may have laid before the Lord in prayer a long time ago. But being still, I mean, who better could you give it to? Sometimes I actually ask myself that. I don't want to burden anyone else. If they're not going to take it to the cross with me, I'm going to do my best to just haul it over there to the foot of the cross and leave it. When Gary used to come, he used to bring his car trash bag with him, and he'd bring it in the front door because he asked me, he says, can I bring my trash in here? And I said, yes, I wish you would, and I wish everybody would learn to do that and leave it here. Whatever stuff's going on, you don't have to leave the same way you came in, burdened, worried, because, you know, during the course of the day, there's so many times during a service that we gather that you can leave your stuff at the altar or at the cross, however you want to put it. Doesn't have to be in front of everybody. You just say, Lord, I carried it this far, and this is the end of the line. I'm leaving it right here. And go home free. That's how easy it is. See, meek people will do that. They recognize they're hurting in an area. And they know that they can do something about it by simply giving it to the Lord and He'll take care of it. But you got to leave it there. Don't be an Indian giver. I give it today and I take it back tomorrow. I'm like Jimmy. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all He'll give me. I want all that God is willing to send our way. Amen? We read about being blessed, didn't we? All right, let's see what else. They wait patiently and in stillness for the work of God in their lives. A meek person, generally, will not repeat or bring up many things that they've given to the Lord, because there's no reason to. You make that decision, He's your personal Lord and Savior, and whatever we give Him, guess who makes the decision to pick it up again? Not me. Boy, all the secrets I'm taking to my grave, wowee, there'll be a party. We don't have to go back again and revisit those things. They've been given to the Lord. Leave them there. And that way, patience has her perfect work. James talked about letting patience have her perfect work. That means God has given you patience for a purpose. Whenever trouble comes and you take it before the Lord, Mr. Patience rises to the magnificent occasion. I'll take that. I'll take that for you. Good. It's gone. You have a 9-member working team with the Holy Spirit down on the inside of each one of you. Every one of you have the fruit of the Spirit in your lives. And every one of those has a purpose. Well, however you're confronted in life along the way, God has equipped you to handle that. You could get T-shirts like Tom has the Jesus is Lord church. You could have, if you knew that you were really going to need patience tomorrow, you could, in faith, set your patience T-shirt out on the dresser tonight so when you get up in the morning, you put your patience shirt on. It says patience on the front of it and go off about the thing that troubled you the most and patience would take care of that for you. Get that word picture. These things are like, they're like a shirt for the occasion. It's like he's equipped us so beautifully. Let patience have her perfect work. That means to bring it to completion. And that way, you don't have to carry the burden of that. Isn't that exciting? When we think about it, it really is. I mean, I think about stuff, but it doesn't plague me. It doesn't torment me. It's not always pleasant because I'd like to fix a few things. Come on now, wouldn't you? Yeah, you know you would. Why not? All right, let's look a little further. This is good. It doesn't mean they become lazy. That's another issue. Don't let it. It means that they're free from frenzy. And when you're free from the things you worry about, you're really free. They have a kind of steady calm that comes from knowing that God is omnipotent. That he has their affairs under his control and that he is gracious and will work things out for the best. Meek people have a quiet steadiness about their lives in the midst of upheaval. Do you know anybody like that? They just kind of stay on a level. That's a good quality to have. They don't fret over the unsaved or over the wicked. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all these today. I'm just sorting them out. They don't fret over what the unsaved do. This is the fourth thing about them. Is that they don't fret themselves over the wicked who prosper in their way. And actually, I do know a few people in Christianity that I've met. And they are so caught up in what unsaved people have compared to what, quote unquote, they have. They make comparisons to the point of jealousy and envy over a lost person. You have the greatest treasure of all. You have Jesus. You know, that is the absolute poverty. If you took all of the Wall Street traders and bankers and big corporation heads, they appoint people to take care of all of their problems. And we shouldn't be jealous over what they outwardly possess. That's for politicians to do. Corporate greed, yes. If you don't watch it, you can be tempted also to see extravagance in the face of what you might be having in possessions-wise. But meek people don't worry about that. And the reason why is our true treasures are not in our wallets and are not in our banks, but if so, God chooses to prosper us. Money is a tool. We've learned to use wisdom in how we invest it. Now, that sounds like a politician, too. How we spend it. And we don't worry about it. It's not about that anymore. Meekness, that's between them and the Lord. If they're not saved, they are the greatest and the poorest of the people among us. Ah, let's see what else we have. Oh, yes. When we commit our way to the Lord, in the confidence He will use His power and mercy to do good for us. How many of you know God does good for us? Jesse, did you ever tell God He's doing a good job?
Yes, I have.
I knew you would. I knew that. I had a pre-knowing answer. That would be what it was. And what did He say in return?
Yes.
All right.
There wasn't really a follow-up.
He is. He's good. And then so the person waits quietly and patiently for the outcome. And finally, it does not give any way to anger and fretfulness when faced with opposition and setbacks. Anybody ever had a setback? Want to share this? Did I hear an old boy in a corner? when I think of a setback, I heard this simple little thing many years ago, and it always stuck with me. Is obstacles or setbacks. There's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it as a stumbling block or a stepping stone. It's all in your perspective. Like, I got an almost full glass of water. Well, some people would say, well, it's not full. I knock it over, it'll appear like it was full and all that it wet. Stepping stones or stumbling blocks. And I've never forgotten that. And that's a truth about how we see things, how we perceive things. Most of the time, the things we fret about turn out to be, why did we get all in a fuss over that? You know, when we look back on it later. Trusting God and rolling our ways onto Him and waiting patiently. Part of our new character in Christ, meekness refrains from revenge and defensiveness. How do we receive the word? James talked about, or Peter, receive the engrafted word with meekness. When we hear somebody teaching or preaching, how do we receive that word? Do we put up a wall of opposition because maybe it wasn't the word you expected to hear? Or it touched a nerve? Or somebody's been reading your mail? We use that phrase, don't we? Because it's so appropriate. Sometimes right when we don't say anything about something, somebody will have a word. And it'll be exactly that very thing that you're dealing with. But to receive the engrafted word, I like the word engrafted. That means it's planted. It's taken root in your life. How do you receive that word? Is it engrafted? Has it become a part of who you are as a believer? The word should play a big part in our lives. And when I think of engrafted, I think of apple trees and how many varieties of apples can grow from the same root or the same tree, but with branches grafted into various varieties of apples, they'll grow. They've been engrafted into the root. You've been engrafted into the root. You've been engrafted into Christ. He's the vine. And so how do we receive His word? Sometimes He says it when I'm not really wanting to hear it. You know, we, a lot of times we know the answer, but we don't want somebody else telling us. It's much better to be asked than told. It's much better to take it and say, well, what can I glean out of this today? I spent all day just writing this all down and then typing it, because I sent this to India yesterday, knowing I was going to get through most of it today. But it's the first time I've heard it out loud. Did you ever do that? You write something up to share, and you don't really know the impact of it until you read it or you speak it out, and it takes on, it's like it becomes 3D. Yeah, those of us that do this, We particularly notice that, because it's the first time we've heard it in our ears. And so how do we receive it? What way was it brought? Do we have to clean it up? No, in my case, I'll admit I have a warped sense of humor, and I don't apologize for contaminating all of you. It breaks down obstacles. It just opens us up, you know, to cause us to be vulnerable before the Lord and reachable and teachable. And so when Peter talked about that, a meek person will do that. John, last Sunday, he lets me know when he's got a word that he'd like to bring to the church. So he said last Sunday, he said, whenever you want to take a Sunday off, he says, I got something. And I said, well, I don't have to take a Sunday off. You can do it while I'm here, and I'll go sit in the back row with somebody else, and you can teach me. I can learn from others. I have a reachable, teachable spirit. And because a lot of times we think about, well, Faith and I don't, I've never used the month of vacation at any one time. India's not a vacation. And I go for close to 2 weeks generally. But because we never had people that could fill in while I was gone, and now I have people that I can. But they don't have to wait until then. If they've got something and they let me know about it, man, I'm going to be stepping aside. Bring it on. I can be any one of you. You let me know. God's put a word in your heart and you want to share it with the church. You know, we're that kind of a place where we gather as a group, and whoever's got a word, the other one sits back and lets the other one speak. That's very biblical. So meek people will be like that. That's one of the things. So now we got a conclusion. Oh my. My conclusion is we're not going to finish this today. Unless, no, you stop talking so long. All right. We'll do this. Now let's stand back and see if we can see the portrait whole, the whole profile of a person who walks in meekness. Meekness begins when we put our trust in God. Then, because we trust Him, we commit our way to Him. These all are connected. We roll on to Him our anxieties, our frustrations, plans, relationships, jobs, our health, and then we wait patiently for the Lord. We trust His timing and His power and His grace to work things out in the best way for His glory and for our good. And a preview of coming attractions. We become reasonable and open to correction. Meekness loves to learn, and it counts the blows of a friend as precious. When a friend comes to you and confides in you that he has an issue with you, don't get mad and bless him with a brick. I only said that because that's what our flesh wants to do. We all know that phrase, what it means. He might tell you, you got a hole in your pants and it's not in an appropriate place. And you'd be really glad that you received that word. And you can let your mind do anything else it wants to go there, you know, whatever somebody tells you as a friend. take it to heart. Charlena, you can use this downstairs next week. Okay? Come on, you know we got to lighten up once in a while. It's good. And when it must say a critical word to a person caught in error, it speaks from the deep conviction of its own fallibility and its own susceptibility and in utter dependence on the grace of God. None of us could really put 100% confidence in ourselves to bring a message, to bring truths. If we did, we probably would say a lot less and let God do a lot more. I'm growing in that area. Meekness begins with God and it ends with God. And therefore, whenever we see a person like that, we give God the glory, and the aim of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is fulfilled. He wanted to instill these truths because he knew he was going to the cross, and all of his sermons were in preparation. And they still didn't get it. Gospel of John, he started running out of time and he began to get more fervent about it. John chapter 14, 15 and 16. And you can see him begin to share more with his disciples about their future and his future. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he began that. It was like preparation. Their hearts were like the fertile ground as he was sowing the seed of the word. And he taught a lot of parables and a lot of truths in preparation. We have the written word, and we can take the same principles and the same truths and apply them in our lives, because we don't know our future on a daily basis, really. We know where we're headed. We know the end of the journey, but there may be a long period of time between the two. So hopefully this will be helpful to you. And take another look at the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll find that meekness is one of them, but there are eight others. We talked about those downstairs. Those are all on the inside of each one of you. But meekness is reported more in the Scriptures. And that's why I went with that one today.